Going on, everybody. Welcome to episode 14 of Monster Truck Outlaws of the West podcast. I'm Vincent Ackerd, your host, and I'll tell you what, we're making moves, and you can now find the podcast, Spotify, YouTube, you name it. We're going to list those wherever else you can find it later on tonight, but I'm going to introduce my co-host, Phil Vicinanza. How you doing, Philly?
Hello. What's going on, everybody? Just as what Mr. Vinny was saying, we have kind of stepped up the level of where we're at. You can now find us on YouTube if you want to rewatch some of the past videos and you just can't be scrolling through the Facebook feed. You can find all those videos on YouTube. We are now on Apple Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on Podbean. We're on Anchor, and we're on Stitcher, and probably by this time next week, we'll be on Google Podcasts as well.
So you can listen to our nice voices when you're on road trips or doing whatever, you know, podcasts on the go. But, you know, I'm going to let you do the honors of introducing our very unique guest tonight, and I'll tell you what, he's got one of the most unique trucks in the business.
Yeah, unique is the word that we're using for this our guest here tonight. He built a truck from scratch, just kind of his own brain, and he's almost an early innovator in what might be the next evolution of monster trucks. He comes from the Pacific Northwest. He's our guest tonight, the driver of T-Max, David Tucker.
How are you doing tonight, David? Welcome to the show.
Hey, so you got a crew shirt on. Thank you. Actually, got serious butterflies, almost like I'm strapped in waiting for a show. Like first one out type of thing.
Yeah, and that's why. Well, I'm sure we'll be talking over each other quite a bit tonight. That's just the fun of live podcasting.
I dig the crew shirt. Gotta say.
Haven't been able to wear it all this year. It feels kind of good to be back in it, at least.
Tonight's a perfect opportunity, and, you know, without further ado, let's go into our first question. You know, I don't think too many people know a lot about, you know, your background, but how did you get started in motorsports?
I guess actually motorsports as a whole, early on I tried to, circle track racing, and did that for a few years and moved up a little bit from Claimers to Pro Fours. And that interest kind of fell out. I tried motocross. Was starting to actually feel a little bit too old to do motocross. And then drag racing, and then got into autocross. Autocross was a lot of fun. Started really feeling stuff. But it wasn't until Tough Trucks. A friend of mine, Randy Cool, says, "Hey, have you checked out Tough Trucks?" And I'm like, "What's that?" And so we, one year we built up a friend, Josh Linville, and Randy and I, we put together a few Tough Trucks, but just didn't make it for the very last show of the year. So had all winter to refine it and stuff, and went out, just had a ball, and started seeing actually that we were like the halftime entertainment for monster trucks. It felt like it was great, and started meeting some people and realized that throughout this entire scene of trying motorsports and racing, I figured out that I'm really actually not a racer. I don't have it in me to push myself to be the fastest, to go the furthest. But when monster trucks came around and I got this opportunity pushed myself into this opportunity, bluffed my way in, kind of, so to speak, as well. I think that's where I kind of found my calling. I don't have to be the fastest and the hairiest. I can go out and put on a show and do my best and feel rewarded at the end of it.
It's always about putting on a performance. It's always something we talk about with all of our guests. It's always entertainment and a sport at the same time. When you got into the Tough Truck game, what was it like at that first event competing in your Tough Truck against maybe some people that have helped you out along the way?
Well, that was like super exciting. I, of course, actually really butterflied out and hairy. I recall one show in Hillsboro. Actually, this is a show that I very first met Tony Canedo. I was just all jazzed up, pumped. I was in a Jeep that I built with a small block Ford up front. And, man, first hit blew the entire front axle out of it. By the time I'm actually probably fourth, fifth jump kind of thing, I rolled it over. And John Borba at the end of that, he's like, you know, you're supposed to – ease into the track and kind of learn it a little bit, you know, and wait for the second time around to maybe try to go a little bit faster.
So kind of fast forwarding a bit there, you know, you're around the events and you see all the different monster trucks that are coming around. What initially made you want to get into the monster truck game?
Oh, I was sitting in the stands after we had done racing and into the show, and actually there again, I was watching Tony run, and I was smelling the air and just the sound and just the mud flying close to my beard and watching, and I was looking at it, I was thinking, wait a minute, those are just like hind joints, and I could see steering hydraulic rams and stuff, and like, I think I could do this. This, why not? Maybe I'll start hunting for some parts and stuff, and it's, maybe I'll be able to be one of the big boys. That'd be kind of fun.
So let's fast forward even more. Now, let's get talking about your truck. You know, you have one of the most unique trucks in the business being T-Max. You know, what made you want to have an independent suspension monster truck?
I think it was December of 2010, I believe. I was just scrolling through eBay, just kind of blindly looking this and that, and I found these Planetary Knuckles in New Jersey. That looking closer at them, they had a ball joint top and bottom, and they were super dirt cheap. They were $200 a piece. And I thought, wow. So immediately I bought up four, and then was thinking with ball joints, I'm thinking independent. So I just thought of a friend of mine, Jason Lindville, had this badass RC truck, and I got to thinking about it. I'm like, oh, yeah. It was called T-Max. So I'm all scrolling eBay again right there that night and found a couple of them, bought them up, and was just all excited and just sitting there at the post office waiting for my stuff to show up. And this stuff comes in, and the model itself is 10 scale, and it's so great to be able to measure pivot points and length and this and that, and just actually literally play with the suspension, watch it work, and looking for bumps here and stuff. And it was that right there seemed like the perfect opportunity to, I didn't have to really do any work or any math or anything really.
So other than the independent suspension, what is the biggest difference between your truck T-Max compared to any other monster truck that competes on the circuit today?
It's a couple feet wider. It's 14 feet, outside tire to tire standards, 11, 12 feet, I think. I don't have to run sway bars. Between the A-arms and the shock arrangement, it keeps itself straight up, most all the time. And, wow. Thinking about it, straight frame chassis, I guess, instead of having a cradle and whatnot, it's just kind of a bridge, I guess. And it's a Cadillac. It's super plush. I'll go out and run it, hit stuff hard and everything, and then get out of the truck and not even realize that I just ran. For a straight axle truck or two that I drove, God, you feel every single hit, and sometimes almost takes my breath away. And, I think the comfort level, I think, is probably one of the biggest differences.
Now, how long did it take you to build that truck from start to competing?
Yeah, so in winter of 2010, I think it seemed like around March when I actually had the thing put together enough to kind of roll it out of the shop and test a little bit. And that was when I realized when I had it parked in my driveway that it took up every square inch of of everything. I'm like, this is a little ridiculous. I think I might have made a mistake. But I just kept with it. And then when I put a body on it or built a body for it, which is like all sheet metal and stuff, then it gave it enough shape and form to where it didn't look completely hideous to me anyways. And I believe it was probably about 6 to 8 months, I think. And it was kind of, it was rolling and testing, but really not until 2012, March, I think it was March of 2012. Yeah, that's right. Because I was able to, it was all done. I had a new shop in town in Springfield, and I was running around. A friend of mine let me have an old taxi cab that out of his scrapyard, and was jumping at and running over it and feeling it. It was just a naturally aspirated 460 Ford back then, just actually really just a stock motor. And I had it done just enough time to take pictures with me when I went for the first time ever to Monster Jam, to the World Finals in 2012, and got to meet up with quite a few of the big drivers and showed them pictures. They were like, wow, you know. And I felt that was like the highlight of everything, you know. But Lupe Souza was like one of my favorite, that I caught him, and it was like the very last second he had to be, you know, ready for the show, and I had to be out of there. And I, poor guy, he's like, oh man, I want to stay here, but I can't, I gotta go.
Well, that's always a great place to start with the truck, and definitely get a lot of eyes and opinions on it. So when you're going to the events, you know, you mentioned that this is a very unique truck with a, it's very wide. How do you transport this truck? It can't be any conventional method, like putting it in a trailer like other trucks.
Right. Yeah. In fact, actually, when I had built it, I didn't even put any thoughts to that. I don't think I was originally just going to build this as just a mud truck to play at an event we have once a year here called Mudfest. And I just wanted to be the biggest, baddest thing out there. Derek Barnum's got a big Dodge that I remember seeing running out there. I'm like, oh, wow, and it's on huge tractors. And I'm like, oh, I want to be something a little bigger now. That'd be kind of fun. And I never did go to the show, never, or to the event. It's just a play day, and never did take it. Kind of actually don't like getting it muddy. And so, yeah, transport, it's totally different. I have a trailer. I drive the truck up on stands, these aluminum stands, and if I'm skilled enough, I can back the truck under. I guess this is in reverse, isn't it? Okay, truck's already on the trailer. Planetaries are off of it. Everything's, the tires are in the front basket in the dumpster. And so I literally got to pull a planetary off of the crane, assemble it, bolt that all together, move on to the next one, and then pull tires out and put them on. And it's about a two and a half hour process. And it used to be an all day thing back in, way back in the day, when all I had was like floor jack and a bunch of people to help. But it's coming down to where it's about a 2 hour science. And which actually I don't mind it. Like, I'll take it to displays, put on display, you know, and stuff. And promoters, they'll be like, hey, you sure you really want to do that? I'm like, yeah, it's a little bit of work, but it's worth it. It's a little more than driving a truck out, popping the rollers off and putting on and then airing up shocks. It's a little more work than that, but it's, everything's worth it in the end.
So I got my good friend Travis Palm in the chat, and I was actually just about to ask about this. He says, so originally the truck had an aluminum body. What was with that, and why did you choose it over fiberglass? Let's talk about all the unique bodies you've had, and you know why you've chosen aluminum then.
Yeah, actually, I wish it was. Oh, okay, that's right, aluminum. The very, very, very first body was actually a steel. It was just like 20 gauge galvanized. Built the whole frame, put it all together, made it kind of like a. I wanted a GT40, kind of a GPT. GTP Le Mans race car type of thing. I don't know how, what I was thinking, but I wanted to do a show for Danny Torgerson, and all I had was a chassis. And So I whipped something out and actually kept that body for a good couple of years. It's the body you see in the very beginning of the intros. Okay, so aluminum later on. I like the uniqueness of a metal body. At least I thought I did. I figured it was easy repairing. Just unrivet a panel, and I've got other panels that are bent up and stuff. Mostly, I think it's one of those things that if I could do it myself, I'll do it myself and build it. That's the only way I could actually build any of this is I have a machine shop, and I was able to build all my own components, shocks and steering arms, that kind of stuff. Yeah, the aluminum just seemed like easier to work with. It was more what I'm natural at, I guess.
We have a lot of people in the comments section below. We got one from Ecom Smith, and he says, didn't he have a Ford Probe as well, rear engine or something?
Oh, yes, right. A Toyota Celica All-Track. Was an All-Track. Little turbo four-banger that I blew up one day, and I was kind of disgusted. I'm like, well, shoot, I've always wanted a GT40 race car. So I yanked the motor out, cut the floorboards completely out, built the chassis, and put a small block Cleveland in the rear. And actually, I've had several motors in it because that'll blow up. So I'll go and build a big ass 460 and put that in, and that'll go away and go back and forth and stuff. But did have a car that was a whole lot of fun and had the same Gulf racing blue and orange that seems to be something I really enjoy. And that was, I think, one of the first vehicles that was blue and orange and just kept painting up good stuff.
So tell us about the VW.
Oh, wow. Sophomore in high school, I built a car or started on building a car and had it done by my junior, a small block Ford 289 up front. And there had been several that I'd seen, all Chevys that were done that way. And so I built my own. That was kind of a lot of fun, actually. And there again, it was like street racing, but I was never much of a street racer. So I kind of stayed out of trouble at least.
So we got Mike Minter in the comments. He's always watching the episodes. He says, Dave built my shocks for a mini monster, and they are bad.
Aw. Yeah, and they're blue and orange. That's kind of the great part. They're at least distinctive that way. I kind of got lucky on his setting the valving and using a lighter shock oil and stuff, and I'm glad that out of the box they worked out good.
Yeah, always in our comments section as well is the Hall of Famer, Terry Woodcock, and he has some very kind words for you. He says, this guy is more intelligent than most people realize. 60 Aww. Seconds in his mind would terrify most. Genius good level old, right there.
Good old Terry.
Wow. I'm glad he didn't mention me running into his truck and venting up wheels and this and that kind of stuff. Guess I shouldn't have mentioned that either.
Yeah, let's hear about that.
In Albany, which is a hometown for me, just an hour or so away, a little tiny venue it felt like anyways, and I can't seem to see over past my hood, that area, and being wider than I should be, I come around and clicked, his truck moved, and I think it popped it in gear too, or popped the pin in the transmission. Yeah, park pin, that's it. Wow. That show actually, another is that they had logs on the course wood logs and the dirt and stuff for jumps. And I come around one of them and I sheared the log with my A-arm and I got a chunk of wood that's like this big in the lower part of my ear A-arm where it shoved through quarter-inch steel. And it's kind of hairy. I left it. We sawed it off, and I think maybe I'm going to varnish it and stain it. You know, just leave that there as a trophy.
So the time has come. You're at your first event driving your monster truck for the very first time in front of a crowd. Where was it, and what was that like?
Very, very first was Father's Day in Harrisburg, Oregon. they were doing tough trucks and stuff, and I just happened to get a hold of the promoter, Dan Mills, and said, "Hey, I got a monster truck. Can I just come out and, you know, play?" And he's like, "Well, sure, yeah, as long as you don't kill anybody." And I'm like, "Yeah, I'll keep that to a minimum." And brought it out. It was a stock 460. I had nitrous maybe to help it out. The A-arms were just box tubing. When I was building the truck, I thought, oh, this is stout. This is going to work. And, man, by the end of the day, lower A-arms were just a big banana. Things were hurt. Ball joints were blowing up and drive lines blowing up everywhere. It was, by the time of the end of that thing, I had one tire left. Everything else was just gone, and I just left it out there in the back, and everybody went home, and we got the bulldozer, and we drug it out, and I managed to get it back on the trailer by nightfall that time.
That kind of leads me to my next question. You know, as time went on and you had more events under your belt, were there any significant changes that you made to your truck to maybe improve the performance or kind of work out any bugs from those early events?
Yeah, and I'm still working on that, sure. The biggest was the ball joints. I was using 2 5/16 trailer balls, a towing ball. And it was in a clamshell that would hold it together. And the stock $12 auto parts store trailer balls, they would bend and then break. So I made some that were I machined some out of 4140, had it heat treated, and they were strong, but they would pop and they'd completely lose a wheel then. So I created a kind of like a gigantic Heim joint laying like vertically, and the whole hub, it would be able to swivel on that. And that's been working pretty good. I'm actually, it's like, solid 2.5 inch diameter, 2.5 inch square at the stem, and even those I'm actually bending those, so I'm going to go away from just 836 and go to probably 514 or T1 steel, something. It's going to be a little kind of a bitch to machine, but it's going to be worth it. It'll just definitely stouter.
So say you're driving, you know, say Survivor, and then you hop back in the T-Max, you know, how are the landings like between those two trucks, you know, very different considering you have, you know, the independent suspension, T-Max and then Survivor, you know, do you feel the impacts in T-Max? So how are the impacts like in your truck?
Right. Perfect example would be a show in Clark County. I think 2017, I just got done running T-Max. It was a, so-so. I had several years where I was pretty disappointed in my performance in the truck, the way it ran and stuff. I forget exactly what happened, if I actually broke or whatever, but I got done with that. And next up was Survivor. Tony was having to do dual driving, but he was kind of tied up. And he's like, get out there and get it running. It was all loaded full of fuel. Somehow it... So we're Brian Christensen and I, all the spark plugs out, just thrashing on it. Got all the fuel out, put it all back together, and I'm strapping in. Oh, this is the scary part. This is the part that scares me the most, is when I'm completely under the gun, and you got the guy on the ground, which happened to be John Borba at the time there, you know, kind of pointing to me, kind of, come on, let's go. And I'm like, just wait a minute. And, got out there, and this is a Survivor, and going, and I'm out there, and I'm hitting some things, and I'm just getting the crap beat out of me. I'm like, oh my God, that's right, this isn't my truck. And the throttle and that thing, and it's a monster. That my truck's pretty, I got to push it really hard to get it to do things. I don't think it's really a power thing, it's just the suspension soaks up so much. But man, Survivor, I was hitting things way over my head, and I had to tone down. I had to try to keep telling myself, my God, that's right. It's not my truck. And by the end of the run, I put it in a donut, hit a berm. That flipped me around the other way. It was a mess. Broke the chassis a couple spots. But no, that was definitely going from a soft plush Cadillac and then into a real on a go kart on a Triscuit with a whole ton of power. It's completely two different worlds.
So when you're behind the wheel of T-Max, you know, what tracks do you think your truck is most suited for? Like, say, just simple crush cars where you want to have steep dirt jumps. You know, what kind of track do you think your truck's most suited for?
Oh, anything that's super, super sharp. Jammer stacks. I finally did a jammer one year up in Clark County as well. Very first hit out, come around, hit it, and it just popped up like a bunny rabbit. Flop down on the ground smooth, and the more aggressive things, that rollers and stuff, it just does not do anything. It just drives over stuff. I like the most favorite jump in Sublimity, I believe 2018, I think, buses. Yes, there we go. Buses, and the front side of that thing was this beautiful ski ramp. I mean, it was perfectly carved like a half pipe. It was just immaculate. And, you know, those guys put that whole track together in about a half an hour. They're doing tractor pulls all up until it's about showtime, shut it all, tear it apart, and staging all that stuff. But the dirt guy, that guy, he made that just so perfect. And so with some speed and power, it flew it really good. It was just it was exhilarating. I mean, just so smooth, just like kind of one of the best roller coaster rides that I've rode on, really.
So how'd that landing feel when you came down?
It was perfect. It smooth, it was there. I had a little bit of a hop, a secondary hop, and then my left front tire just disappeared. It just laid over, and I'm like, okay, I guess I'm done, and went a little bit, shut her down, popped out really quick, and I was so just thrilled. And then I'm thinking, too, is that a good show is one you can drive out of, and so hop back up, and the loader guy's like, you need to pull us. I'm like, no, I'm fine, thank you. Just drove out of there. any show that you can actually drive out on your own power is a win for me.
So, you know, when you're behind the wheel T-Max, what is your favorite thing to do? Whether it be, you know, some people like to do slap wheelies, sky wheelies, big air, you name it. What is your go-to move in that unique T-Max truck?
Yeah, I have zero tricks. Big air is all I can hope for. I've tried one year. I tried. It was the end of the aluminum body era, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to roll this thing. I'm going to do everything I can here in Klamath Falls to roll this. And I come up off the thing just all sideways purposely, and it just come down, landed on that one wheel, flopped out straight. I tried a couple other things. It just was not happening. So I'm like, well, that's just not in the cards at all.
So, you know, have you ever thought about maybe a backflip in that truck? I mean, you talk about tricks. You want to try to flip the truck over. You think that T-Max truck could do a backflip?
I imagine with the right person behind the wheel, probably. I really need to push myself and learn some things. Yet in my career, I think I've done one wheelie in Survivor one whole year. Everything that was my goal, was to try to do wheelie. And we went through so many third members. Tony's like, would you just please stop? Just drive the truck. Just need to stop, please. I think if we can have something that's really wide, like a container, and a container, you know, 20-foot container, but full of dirt, so it's solid, I think, and maybe a few more dollars in the motor, I think, yeah, that could be definitely a backflip contender.
So we got a pretty awesome comment here from Rick Curcio. It's quite the paragraph here, so bear with me as I read it all.
Here's the whole screen.
We would watch him literally disassemble the truck and mount it on his motorhome. But the level of intelligence David possesses would like Terry said, is incredible. He saw the problem tiring up a full-size fire truck, and he designed, built, and installed for me a hydraulic jack system independently lifting each corner of the truck that was so sensitive I could make the fire truck dance while putting in big tires. A question for David is, how have you remained such a nice guy dealing with all of the devious scoundrels that try to capitalize on your intelligence? And yes, the Impala is running strong.
I can barely see you, Phil.
Oh, that's awesome. That fire truck was a little bit of a challenge, and I was so excited that Steve had said, "Hey, can you do this for us? We really could use this." And I'm like, "Yeah, that sounds like fun." And looking back at it now, yeah, I had the four controls, one per tire. And if I would have put a dump valve, a control, to smooth it out a little bit, you know, it was sensitive. That when I first tested it, I'm like, "Oh, geez," you know, and the thing's all rocking and stuff. And I'm like, "Settle down, easy, just ease it down, okay." And we were kind of under a time crunch to where I think it was literally, "Okay, let's load up, let's go home," or go to the show, and I think it was in Newport. So that was about before dusk, and we were out of there by dark, which is typical for me, I guess. But capitalizing, no, I don't know. I think no matter who and what, I love people and I love everybody, I think. And I don't think I've ever seen it as a threat or anybody as being a threat. So, and I guess if it's my knowledge, like, you know, when I want to build something and I don't really go on the web and do a bunch of research and see what's out there, kind of just sit and ponder on it. A lot of it isn't, you know, in the shower or driving, just mindless thinking. And so a lot of my ideas, I don't really think they're really they are my idea, but after it's all said and done, it's like I see the exact same thing on something somewhere already done. I'm like, "Oh, wow, well, you know, great minds think alike, I guess," but at least I don't feel that I copied anybody.
So, you know, you travel to many venues while you're on the road, and I got to see you at the Maricopa County Fair a couple years back. What was your favorite venue to travel to when you're on the road?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Turlock is, I think, for some reason, one of my favorites. That particular setting, Dirt Dude that sets up, that builds the tracks, he does a beautiful job, just smooth, you know, good approaches and stuff. And for some reason, I think that is... In fact, one time, I believe it was in Indio, I was driving back. We were all driving. Oh, wow. What was it? I don't know. It was one event that we were, yeah, I think it was Indio. We left it all behind. And so riding with John Borba, and I asked him, I says, "You know, could I bring my truck to Turlock and Santa Rosa? I really love those places. And we built a good track with big air. And I haven't really had, I don't think, a track with, that I get really big air at yet." And he took a chance and let me come out. And Santa Rosa, darn it, my motor wasn't running very good. I had two loads on the camshaft that were flat. I didn't realize it. And so it did a lot of popping and farting and not really much of a show. But I had it rebuilt for Turlock, and I felt pretty good hitting stuff that was bigger than I'd ever tried out before. And yeah. Felt great and comfortable there.
So you talk about that air. There was a comment in here from Jennifer Tucker. She wants to know, what's it like when you fly?
It's kind of too short. you know, the initial pop up and it's like, "Oh yeah, okay. So what do I need to do? Do I need a little brake or throttle or whatever?" Actually, that's kind of after I'm on the ground, I think about those things, I guess, because in the air it's like, "Hoo-wee," you know, "Oh yeah, that's it." The times that it pops up hard and I'm up there, it's when I'm like, and I'm smacking on the throttle, just burr, burr, burr. That's the time I know that it's a big one. That's when I realize, "Oh, okay, here we go. And then, you know, my truck's like, "Oh yeah, that was great." Other truck, it's like, "Oof, oh, okay. Oh, okay, where do I got to go to breathe? Calm down. Okay. Oh, that's a nice little trail. Let's just meander over there for a little bit. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of, I think that's kind of what it's like.
Oh, I love it. Hey, we got another comment in here about your truck from Donald Stetcher. He wants to know what made you go to the unique suspension that is on your truck than the normal suspensions we see on other monster trucks. I know we kind of talked about the science behind it, but what was the main reason why you wanted just a different suspension type?
Okay, yeah. some tough trucks that I've done that I used to race. The first one was a Jeep. It was a straight axle. It was fun. I later did this funky thing I called a chuck wagon or a chum bucket. It was straight axle. I had 20 inches of travel and stuff, but it was still kind of a bucky feel. And a little later than that, I did my first independent suspension in what I called the Flying Tiger. It was a boat body, and I had 20 inches of travel in it per wheel, and it was just such a beautiful ride that it was predictable. It was I could hit anything I wanted. I could do anything I wanted to it, and I knew that coming down that either A, I was going to explode a wheel or a knuckle, or it was going to land smooth, and I could turn around and do something else. And it was when I found that those planetary knuckles on eBay that had a ball joint in them. I'm like, oh my God, I can actually upscale this even more. And super excited to have found those. Later, a couple of years ago, I got back in touch with John at ANA Truck Parts, where I got the first four, and said, hey, you got any more of those? And it's like, sure. I'm like, can I just buy a couple few more? And then later he says, hey, they've been sitting out and kind of got water in them. There's probably only like maybe five or six that are good. And I'm like, can I just buy everything you got? So about 11 of those knuckles for a super beautiful price. I think shipping was just almost more than the knuckles themselves. And I got spares. I've been kind of updating on them too. Machined out the ball joint pockets and made cheap plates and for the new ball joints and stuff, and stouter this and that. And just wish I just had all this time, day in, day out to actually work on the stuff. But it's, that's probably it there.
So we have a question from Levi Shones. He wants to know, how does it feel to be recognized in a book about monster truck technology? I believe he's referring to Marty Garza's book.
Yes, right. That's a great thing. Thank you. It just makes me smile. In the very beginning, building the truck, I didn't really know. I've never been up close to a monster truck. I didn't really know a lot of things about them. And that was one where I had to go on the web. I had to start looking and researching and stuff. And I come across an article that Marty Garza wrote. It was a piece with all kinds of ideas he had and some early tech and different stuff. And I would go back through that thing and I learned a lot. I had to figure out stupid stuff like, how does a person even climb up into a monster truck? And what size are they really and whatnot? And Monster Jam was on TV for us at that time. And so it was like it seemed like every night we're going on and watching a new episode or something and just a new track. And the greatest part was when we get up and close and stuff. And, I remember Dennis Anderson had failed, but he broke in freestyle. It's like he was on the side and just sitting there and like, well, you could get out of that. But, and so he was holding up a hot shoe, the throttle pedal assembly, and just actually showing us what that was. I'm like, oh, that's what they got. So immediately I'm on eBay and finding that and, got those coming. I'm like, all right, another piece of the puzzle.
Well, we got a question from Travis Palm. I'm actually curious to hear this myself. He says, if you were to build a second truck, would you give it the same treatment you did with T-Max, being the independent suspension, or would you go with a more traditional approach with the suspension?
Yeah, I'm pretty much stuck on what I like right now. I actually bought a Traxxas Revo and was looking that all over, and I kind of realized that the spring rate for a lay down shock in that kind of wishbone type of weird funky thing would probably be like 2,000 pound per inch spring and stuff. And so, no, but I've kind of every once in a while look, I mean, I'll see something new, see side by sides and stuff. I was looking at some thinking, well, how about shocks on the upper A arm and whatnot? I don't know, but I've been thinking about, yes, I'd like to build a new truck. Mine's getting, the cracks are becoming larger and you know, further down the frame and stuff. And it's kind of almost about time to start thinking about something new. And I think I would like to, when you build something and you think it's going to work great and it doesn't, and you do some revamping and whatnot and fixing, and you can only redo it so far before you think, you know, I probably should just scrap this and start over and take the ideas and whatnot. And I'm kind of looking forward to some winter being able to do that.
So, you know, on that topic, we have a question from Lee Plato, and he says, Dave, do you ever wish you could make your truck not so wide so it can fit in more venues?
Yes, I very, very wish it would. If I could put the pivot points for the lower air arms, like attach them both to each other so it's like in line, you know, squeeze it up a little bit. That's a good point. Thanks, Lee. In the very beginning, when I bought my two Traxxas trucks just to model from, one was the 2.8 version, one was the 3.3 version, and after measuring and figuring out, scaling it 10 times, I realized that the 3.3 version, 17 feet wide, tire to tire, and that blew my mind. I'm like, there is no way, no way. And 2.8, either it came out to be 14 foot, or I think I fudged it even a little more and made just the A-arms just 4 foot long and stuff, and just squeezing everything up in the initial build to try to make it as narrow as possible but have all the travel. Yeah, I really wish I could fit. There's in Redmond, Oregon, the entrance is just 12. And this is the thing I'll do. Every show that I do in Tough Trucks, because, yeah, I was doing Tough Trucks. I had the monster built, but I didn't really know any contacts, and it was just kind of sitting there. But I do Tough Trucks, and I would, like, the entrance to every venue I go to, I put 1 foot in front of the other, and I would count out, you know, and measure how wide is this, how wide is that. And it was so disheartening that in Redmond, Oregon, the entrance was 12 foot and a toe. And that was the only entrance into the building. And so I'm like, well, I guess I probably won't ever be able to play in this one. And there's been a couple of shows that where, yeah, literally it's like 12 feet. Either the question didn't get asked. And I asked all the promoters, like, well, do you know how wide it is to get in? And I think maybe I must have missed this one. And it was in South Dakota. Yeah, South Dakota indoors. Oh, that's right. We kind of were on under the gun. It's like somebody couldn't show up, and they're like, hey, can you do this? And I had like 3 days to prep and get there. I'm like, sure. So I guess we didn't really think, but I had to pull the entire rig in, tire it all up, pull the hauler out, which some people do that anyways, but I'm not in a little basketball court.
So you talked about a Tough Truck. Brad Smith wants to know about the Mustang Tough Truck.
Wow, yeah, I wish I had pictures to show you there. Yeah, that was fun. It was a 2000 Mustang. We had a really fun group of people at that time, where we'd all get together, we'd barbecue and have oysters on the half shell and just thrash all night long to get ready for a show, a Tough Truck event that's coming up. Father's Day, yeah, actually. And had this Mustang that a friend of mine gave me because he didn't want to do anything with it, I guess, and gutted it all out, built independent front and rear suspension, and it was, gosh, I don't know why, but 20 inches seems to be a good wheel travel that I seem to be getting out of all my little creations anyways. And we took it up to Lebanon's race for the Father's Day event, and first couple of jumps, and it was just nose heavy. I had tires in the back. It was a pre-runner looking Mustang, you know. It was actually kind of fun. But it was just nose heavy, and it had just a V6, but I couldn't figure out how to fly it out and stuff, and pretty much destroyed it in that event, and rebuild it, change some things, a couple other shows, but same thing would happen. It just like dive over and plow right into the ground. And I fixed it enough and put it back on, and it was actually street drivable. I'd drive it on the street on, it was the 31s, I think, but kind of fun seeing a late model Mustang just all pre-runnered out. And, I ended up selling that back to the guy that gave me the car, his father, actually. I'm terrible with names. My brain doesn't work. And I got a cheat sheet actually in front of me, but I forgot to put this. Corey Vanderbooten. I sold it back to his dad. I just sold it back to him for just the upgrades that I did to the car. And they're driving that thing all over Montana. It's kind of cool that every once in a while it'll pop up on Facebook. And I'm like, hey, I know that car.
Well, I heard you say something about you wish I had a picture of the Mustang, but you're right. I don't have a picture of the Mustang, but I do have some other photos, and it's time for Explain That Photo. It's pretty simple. We bring a photo up on the screen, and you got to explain it. Phil, I think you have a picture for us, don't you?
I don't know. I probably do. Show me the picture.
Oh, yeah, there it is. That is the Celica that was mentioned earlier. Larison Rock Hill Climb in here in Oregon. And it's like a 2.5 mile road course uphill, old logging road. And that Celica, actually a friend of mine, Matt McCune, owns it now. That motor is 400 cubic inch Ford. It's twin supercharged with Eaton M112s that I put together. And actually my second show in Harrisburg, I got contracted, Bill Payne. We asked him, hey, can you come do a show for us here in Harrisburg so that I have something that I can go out and play on a larger scale with some real monster people. And I had no motor, so I ripped it out of that car, stuffed it in T-Max, and made it through the, it was a 2-day show, and then, of course, blew it up at the end, but not by choice, but it's just, you know, what happens with Ford motors with cast pistons and running a ton of boost and just carbureted and running just gas and not methanol and, you know, all those kind of factors. Things don't last very long with me that way.
So explain this next photo.
Oh, neat. My machine shop in town, I was leasing that place anyways, and there's kind of enough room around back to be able to play, set up cars and stuff, although I never did. It seems like I never have time to actually go out and try to test, try to learn how to actually drive better, and so everything's done at a show. So it's unfortunate sometimes for the fans that, you know, out there actually practicing, trying to do something that you've never done before, and they're like, oh, that was kind of lame. Why don't you just go home and try that at home next time?
All right, well, we got another picture for you, and here it is.
Ouch, thanks. In Cottage Grove, I think it was a Monster X show. That was actually that right there. That's the steel body that I was talking about. Galvanized sheet metal. Man, that thing was noisy. It would just rattle and thump, and every little landing, it was like, wow, is this going to come apart or what? But no, a van stack there in the back, and it was the very, very last, obviously, the very last hit of what I was accomplishing, and That was fun. I got some pretty good air on it and didn't really care. And unfortunately, that was a jump that was pointing towards the crowd. And thankfully, I had cables for wheel tethers and stuff and hit the ground, blew a knuckle up, and everything just kind of fell apart.
Yikes. Well, we got one more for you, and explain this.
Oh, yes. I finally bucked up and had artwork done by Jason Becker, super incredibly talented artist. I met him in Vegas in the very first time I had my truck there, 2014 or 16 or something like that. And, you know, here's this guy kept coming back to me and showing me drawings and this, and I'm like, man, yeah, let's do something. And I had my idea that I wanted. I loved cartoons magazines back when I was a kid, you know, in the 80s, just, and it was, you know, incredible. And I'm like, this is my idea. This is what I want, this kind of style. And he's like, well, that's kind of my forte. So you came to the right person. And it was so great to, with my idea, whatever I wanted and stuff, and go back and forth with him and everything. And I'm like, and somehow, could you just subliminally put Batman in there? And so there's some bats up in the moon and everything. But it's, yeah, that's, I have yet to do anything with it though. I want to do posters and t-shirts and everything, but I guess I'm just not quite made of money like some other people are. So eventually it's going to happen. And I think the main people that are going to benefit are all my friends and family.
So if people don't know you, I know you, and we all know you love Batman. So what's the story behind Batman?
Yeah, I think probably everybody has a go-to superhero or a father figure. Yeah, I wish it was a father figure, actually. But, I think everybody does. And I didn't really purposefully put this out there originally. The hauler there, I bought from Chuck Jordan his old hauler, and it was a white camper but a black cab. And one day I went down and got some Rust-Oleum, a couple gallons of black Rust-Oleum, and taped the thing off and painted. And immediately, as soon as it was drying, I'm like, oh my God, this thing is just Batman worthy. I had a friend of mine, Chris, produce some stickers for it. And then the whole back of it, actually, of the hauler, just rattle canned kind of the Dark Knight. But after I pulled the tape off, I realized that I taped on the wrong side of the line, so it's kind of a Fat Man Dark Knight in symbol and stuff. So, but the colors that I chose for T-Max that year, we got an auto parts store. Actually, they unfortunately just recently closed up after 30 some years or so. Brooks Auto Parts and paint, and I've always really like that color blue and stuff. And I'm like, well, you know, some blue, silver. I had to get this thing done. I had a week to get it done for World Finals for display. And after just throwing some tape and painting and realizing Toyota Tacoma body, and the front kind of looked like, you know, safety glasses or some badass sunglasses. So kind of taping that off with some yellow and to highlight a bit, it came to me that this is like 1966 Adam West Batman, the silver, the blue, and the black, it's so awesome when the hairs stand on the back of my neck when I get an epiphany, like, oh my God, this is exactly what I want to do. And so I kind of did also for the next year the black Batman on the side, just the kind of the Dark Knight logo. It's there. It's if you see it, you'll know it, type of thing. And I kind of enjoy that. And then, when I have my crew shirts made up, I'm like, can you do, you know, down here a Batman belt, you know, all in yellow? And he's like, no, not a chance. But he did at least do my little cufflinks. And so I think it's the little things that it's like eye candy or just things that people notice that it's like, oh, wow. And sometimes it's more fun than something that's so huge and blingy. Like, oh, yeah, well, you could have tried a little harder to make it more like Batman. So, yeah, that's the thing is if it's – you don't have to be spot on trying to recreate the Batmobile, like which Monster Jam it did, which I think in 2000 or so, super fantastic job they did. It's not, you don't have to try so hard.
Hey, so I've been noticing a lot of the mini monster dads in the comments, and we brought some of them up here tonight, and it kind of got me thinking, didn't you have your own take on a mini monster, the DT Max?
Yes. Right, that was actually, it was the boat, boat body truck, Flying Tiger, but a few events trashed that body pretty bad, and I was not into fiberglass repair at the time, so I finally scrapped it all and once again aluminum body and made a miniature version out of it of T-Max, which actually we kind of took on tour with us. Ron Leach was a promoter. We did some stuff in Arizona, and his daughter actually, she drove that for in a couple of shows in Cholo and in a border town in Arizona, to get the name actually, but that's kind of fun. That's the same. That motor, it's the Cleveland that was in the Celica originally, kind of thing. I kind of just pop things out and put it in something else in a build. I don't have a ton of motors for disposal, I guess. So I'll just kind of, we're not autocross racing this year, so let's build something else and put it in. And I took it to that event. It was actually kind of a hut fest. Ooh, my chair just blew out. The suspension on my chair just blew out.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no, I'm leaning. I got like 125 feet out of a hut fest event in that, and that was kind of fun little landing. I feel like I just blew out a tire, actually. Pardon me, technical difficulties.
No, you're good.
All right, this is.
For those of you on our podcast feed, David Tucker broke his chair, and
Well, I'll tell you what, David, that's the blooper of the real blooper of the year. Yeah, that's gonna be a blooper of the year.
Okay.
Well, I don't know how to transition from that, but I'll go with one of our classic segments. I was talking with my buddy Brian Anger earlier, and he reminded me that you were the second person to drive the Spitfire truck for Bill Payne.
Wow.
How did that come about, where you got the chance to drive the unique fire-breathing Spitfire?
Wow, I'm actually second. That's amazing. Roseburg, Oregon, it's pretty close to home. So Bill Payne says, hey, you want to go play in a truck? And I'm like, yeah, I'd love to. So helped everything out. And, in my mind, I'm thinking, gosh, am I going to get to drive? And what will it be and stuff? And that evening, he's like, I think we'll put you in Spitfire. And I didn't even realize that Spitfire was that's name. And I'm like, is that the dragon thing? And yeah, okay, that's awesome. Unfortunately, I didn't click with it very well. I wasn't very nice to it. And so in intros, I blew the motor in that, timing set just blew out of it. But we thrashed on it the entire rest of the evening and day and, put together a motor instead of pulling it out, dropping something else in. We actually built something and, ran it for the next show. The thing about something I'll mention is Roseburg, Oregon there's a curse at that track. It was a mud fest. It was, if anything could go wrong, it would. Things are blowing up. We were just pulling our hair out. Bill Payne's got an amazing crew of people, and the level of working together sportsmanship that's on his crew is just amazing. We pulled it all off. It was great. It's like, whereas others that would have been, that challenging would have been like, let's just pack it all up. Let's just go home. Let's, I don't know, put some cardboard stage props up and that's the show. And let's duck out the back and never come back.
Well, Ecom Smith says, can't wait to see what chair you will build. I mean, if you need a chair, I got one back here. It fits the colors of your truck. It fit perfectly.
Well, yeah, that's the thing I've been noticing here is I've been pretty jealous. I'm like, well, I got a gamer chair. I should go dig that out of the back out of the storage unit and stuff. And kind of regret that, actually. not test drove it beforehand.
We'll get a T-Max chair.
Right?
Well, on a much lighter note, we have another question from Travis Palm. He wants to know, what advice would you have for anybody trying to get into the monster truck scene?
I don't want to sound cliché, so I won't say the same thing everybody else says. Like, just run. Don't, you know, close that door and haul ass the other way. Choose someone, go out there and look for people, buddy up with. I really was blessed meeting Tony Canedo, meeting him for the very first time in Hillsboro when I was running Tough Trucks, and then later when I got my own stuff done in Clark County, and I had a fuel pump died, and he just like threw one at me, and we threw it in and got it going, and later at the end of the show, I was able to buy it from him, so I didn't have to take it back out. And, but spending some time crewing for an outfit, you know, like Bill Payne he's a wonderful person. He is amazing that, you know, he'll take people just with some experience or off the street, or I don't know, maybe it's not off the street. I love the fact that he gives people chances and he gives people jobs and opportunities. And I think I see that a lot in this motorsports, is that there are opportunities for people just to like, hey, you know, I've got some mechanical skills. Can I just run with you guys and, you know, help out? And you know, I'm thinking that if, you know, your time most likely will come, that you'll be able to do some seat time and stuff. And, I'm really thinking, you know, people with a good, humble heart and can listen and can just not be afraid to get dirty, which I am. I got to wear gloves anytime I touch anything. I kind of think that's sort of some advice.
So, you know, let's get into some fun questions. You know, when you're on the road after a show, it's all about the after show dinner. Where do you go?
Oh, dinner's fun. We haven't been thrown out of Applebee's like other people that we know, but come close. Yeah, I think Apple's – is that really even the question? After show dinner? Did I hear that right?
Yeah.
Okay, yes. Yeah, anytime that we can actually sit down, use the bathroom, wash up, as opposed to – getting something out of a drive-through, that's the fun part.
Hey, so your truck's very unique and you take such pride in driving it, but do you ever kind of wish that you would drive somebody else's truck? So my question is, if there was any truck out there, past or present, that you would have the opportunity to drive, what truck would it be?
Wow. I don't know. I don't think I've ever actually. Boy, let me think on that. Oh yes, of course. Jimmy Creighton, when he redid his truck. Yes, I would. I would be very much honored to sit. Actually, I really asked him. I said, please, and he's like, yeah, sure, no problem. Sitting in his truck feels like sitting in a fighter jet. It's compact. Overhead bars, it's like an Apache helicopter or something, and then just his level of engineering is amazing. It's you know, for him, you know, if he breaks something once, twice, by the time the third time comes around, it's not going to be a third time. He's totally gone through, re-engineered the wheel to figure out, you know, what do we got to do to fix this, not have it happen again. And for the the engineering that he puts in his trucks and his personal truck, of course, the Bounty Hunter truck, that would be one I would love to That's a truck I'd love to sit in and drive.
It's a very unique truck. That's why he's the champion. Hey, you know, we were talking about a lot of the different things that you've built, and obviously you got your start in tough trucks, and now you're in the monster trucks. Other than some of the more obvious things, what's the biggest difference between a tough truck and a monster truck?
Other than the obvious money, which actually there's some tough trucks. Herc, the toilet guy, he's got a toxic truck that's, I think he's got a few bucks in that truck. And the obvious, I think, is they're a little smaller. Mega trucks, some friends of mine, very popular guys, the Wolfpack, Gray Queener, and see, there's where my brain fails. Like, oh, get one out. Okay. Oh, Glenn and Bob. Yes. Mega trucks on 44s. And those guys, they can run their truck and put on a show that would just rival most monsters. You know, wheelies and air. And just, I think one of the great things that they have going for them is they come out, and I think when, like I was thinking anyways in the beginning, is I wasn't expecting them to go out and like full on jump and slap wheelie and do all the kinds of things that a monster truck would. It was rewarding. It was encouraging to think that, wow, you could do that. I want to do that. I want to build a truck that I can go out and do that. And I think that for a fan standpoint is a good thing too, is that it's a little closer to home. People could relate to a mega truck, relate to a smaller version, a mini monster for sure. People can relate to them. Like, you know, we could do that if we really, really wanted to put the money out, put the time out. It's a good springboard. It's a good opportunity to be a part of something larger than typical everyday life, I think.
So you've accomplished a lot in your career so far, and I want to know, what is your favorite memory driving monster trucks so far?
I think there's a lot of great memories and favorite. I wish I would have thought ahead of something like that. I think probably, oh, well, okay. We're going to go to Sublimity Harvest Fest. Cause I'm thinking that in 2018, that was to me my highlight of my career, the high at least anyways. For the Friday night show, Saturday night show. Yeah.
It was high.
Yeah. Yes, it was great for me. Thinking about that, actually, the greatest part there is I was in my truck, ready to go. Actually, I think I was probably supposed to be out later in a show, and they're like, no, you go out now. I'm like, no, I'm not even – I'm supposed to be out later. I don't know what it was, but, warmed up to things. There's a good jump on the left, and there's a good jump on the right. Hit those, come around, hit those. This, I'll tell you, this was one show that I could hear Scott Healy was announcing. I think Healy is his last name. He was announcing. I could hear him in my truck. I could hear over my truck and hear him. It was just amazing. My mom, my stepfather, and of course, a lot of family, a lot of friends, everybody in the stands. I was pumped. It was exciting. I backed up all the way to the back of the fence. I had cleared my mind, throttled, second gear. I don't remember if I got third gear before hitting those buses or not, but just if there was a show that things went right, that was definitely the show. And so when things go like you hope and things go like you pray, it builds a memory that's like, wow, you know, and makes me tingle. And I wish I had, you know, like a camera thingies on the inside, you know, so I can replay, but I don't think anything would replay as well as what's actually what I remember in my mind.
Well, Jennifer Tucker says, beautiful jump, our mom cried.
Yes, yes. End of the show and, you know, hugging everybody. And my mom is just, oh, her voice. Oh, I remember that night. And well, she didn't really have much voice left, it seemed like. And oh, man, it was just, that was a fun, amazing time. Something about having a hometown show and actually things going right. Just, man, I should be able to remember this.
Well, you know, David, you've done a lot of awesome things so far and gone such a long way. When this is all said and done, whenever that may be, what do you want your legacy to be?
Legacy confused in my mind with eulogy, I guess, or maybe that's what I seem to see when I've heard people telling this grants or anyways. It's like that sounds like a eulogy, but people would want what you would want to hear from people, I guess. But I think immediate legacy is what I would leave behind, what my son and my daughter can pick up and be proud of. I think that's my biggest thing there is that, you know, for friends and family to remember and be proud that, you know, that I've been their friend and that well, I went the other way around. I want to be able to end with the feeling that people have been friends to me and that everything that I've been able to accomplish. Trying to be somebody and just creating something different just because I enjoy doing stuff like that. And there's so many talented people in this world that, you know, I'll look and see their stuff on Facebook and the beautiful things that they create and stuff. It's like, wow, you know, it's so awesome to see. You know, and I feel jealous. I feel like, wow, I wish, you know, I could love like that, or I could, you know, have the time to create something or just, I'm so thankfully envious of other people's creations. Yeah, it's not jealous, I should say.
Well, David, it's been a pleasure having you on here tonight, but I have one final question. I know you're sitting on your floor right now with a cheat sheet nearby. Is there anything on that cheat sheet, anybody you want to thank for any reason that you wrote them down for?
I think when I was trying to put that together, because it's like you gotta have something for my mind to stabilize on. I did actually want to put out a big giant worldwide public apology to Dave Smith. Dave Smith bought a truck from Don Frankish, one of his Maniac trucks, and put that all together. And some of the things I'm thinking is that, like, we had to do a show in Newport, and I'm like, hey, let's go get fuel in Cottage Grove. It's really dirt cheap there. And so we drove 40
miles out of our way, completely out of our way, to save 10 cents a gallon on diesel. And man, I feel like the whole drive backtracking, he was like, thanks a lot. That's just, that's biofuel. It's not even worth going and getting. Thanks a lot. And then, driving to that show, completely missed our exit because I'm ahead and he's following me because, oh yeah, it's my hometown. I could take a straight there. And so backtracking another 30 miles to get to the Corvallis exit. and then, here's a fun one. Dave Smith related. So we're in, we're in California. I think we had met up to do, we're going to go do a show in Ferndale, and we are on display two different parts of town in Humboldt County. I forget the town, pretty close. And I'm like, well, it's a short drive to Ferndale. I don't want to completely tire down. I'm going to leave the planetaries on. I think I could squeak by. It's no big deal and stuff. And so he's following me again. And we get up to, hey, there's this bridge in Ferndale that we got to cross. And I'm looking at it. I'm thinking, uh-oh. But I'm already in a turn lane. And this bridge is maybe 18 feet wide. And I'm 13 feet wide on the planetaries. And so where's everybody else going to go? And, oh, my God, it was a mess. And Dave and behind me. And, oh, I'm driving as close as I can to the edge of the bridge. There's these concrete pillars. And this thing was built like in way back in the 40s or something, or maybe in the early 1900s. I'm clipping pillars of concrete with my planetaries. These little poofs of concrete are popping off. And I'm like, oh, God. And I ended up getting stuck in between a couple of them. Had the entire bridge dead. Everything was going wrong. Somebody got out and shut down the other side. And oh, man, Dave is just red. I have never seen this shade of red ever. And he's like, and I'm like, I'm sorry. And I fire up T-Max. I get the tires turned because everything's hydraulic. It's nothing, obviously nothing manual. And we get off the bridge just as the sheriff's coming onto the bridge. And I wave and we get to the show and people are like, did you hear there was a monster stuck on a bridge? I'm like, oh, I don't know. We're all here. I don't know what you're talking about. But yeah, sorry, Dave, for all the inconveniences. Next time you lead, you drive, you take us somewhere. I'd appreciate that.
Oh, that's always a good time out there with Dave Smith and Maniac. I'm sure we'll have him on in the future. You know, David, it's been a great time talking with you here. The truck that you built is very unique, and I know I asked you what your legacy is going to be, but I think you've already cemented yourself with the truck that you've built and just kind of being an early innovator in what might become a commonplace in this industry. It's been great hearing your back story behind that, and I think Vinny would agree that the sky's the limit for you.
Oh, thank you. Yes, this is actually just exciting because you got to wear my crew shirt, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm actually going to be in a show. And then of course I break my chair, which is the same as breaking my truck. So it all fits. It's actually probably the best thing ever that happened this summer. Thank you.
Awesome having you on the show, David, and we'll definitely keep in touch with you.
Awesome. Thank you. Enjoy, everyone.
Awesome. Having David on the podcast. Phil, what do you think about that?
I think the lasting impact for this podcast episode will be the fact that David broke his chair, and I'm sure you'll see that replayed during the week at some point. But like I mentioned before, David's impact and legacy in the business is already cemented for just being an early innovator with his truck T-Max. And, you know, there's a good chance that, you know, 10 years down the line, we can have this conversation. And if monster trucks are starting to look and perform the way David's did, even if David didn't perfect it, he was the first. And that's something you can never take away from him. And he's in the record books and he'll forever be an innovator. And he's always thinking about the next thing.
I mean, like you said, who knows, we can see a lot more independent suspension monster trucks rising up in the near future. Definitely be a cool thing to see. And, you know, David getting being a big part of that. And I just want to say it's the end of the episode, so you know what that means. Let's talk about next week. I'm very close with these guys, and it's going to be an awesome one. They're rising stars on the West Coast. You know, they've got a chassis from Obsession Racing, and they've been really driving it hard. Next weekend, we're going to bring on these guys. I pretty much gave it away, but here it is.
Next week, we're bringing on the brothers, Brandon and Jacob Galley of the Wicked Strong Monster Truck. These two brothers are lifelong monster truck fans, and they got the call to get into the business, and they've been seeing their star rise ever since. So we're going to get their backstory, what made them get into the business to begin with, and what are some of those early struggles they've seen in their first few years as team owners in the monster truck business. It's been a great time here on this podcast. If you missed our announcement at the beginning of the episode, we are now on YouTube, so you'll see this exact feed up on YouTube.
And Spotify. After,
and Spotify, and sure. Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Anchor, and Stitcher, and soon to be Google Podcasts. So if you're on the road or at the gym.
We're everywhere.
Wherever you are, you can find us a little more easier than logging on to the Facebook feed. But as always, we're going to keep doing these live videos here every Friday night to make sure you get your questions in and have a great time with us as we continue to learn more about some of the people that make the West Coast monster truck scene what it is. I saw Vinny's camera died, but no worries, we're out of time. We'll catch you guys here next week with Brandon and Jacob Galley.